Welcome to the CC Broadcast, a part of Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministries. Join us this week as our radio preacher, Pastor Tim Butker, delivers part two of his message, Why the Church Keeps Growing.
It is great to have you with us again today on the CC Broadcast as we again turn our hearts towards the Lord in worship and praise and honor of who He is. And then we open His Word and invite Him to speak to us by the power of His Spirit. As we're continuing this week in our journey through the book of Acts, we're pausing for a moment just to consider why the church is growing, how it is expanding. And as we do this, this is part two of Why the Church is Growing, and we're looking at a unique gospel text that highlights something very powerful that God has given us in the world to do His work and help advance His kingdom. And because they were using this tool that God had provided them, the early disciples, the church was expanding and growing and flourishing. I'm excited to bring you part two of this message today. I hope you're greatly encouraged. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this opportunity to gather together through the miracle of modern airways and technology, to come before you and listen to your word. May our hearts and souls be strengthened as we take time to come and worship you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning new mercies I see, and all I have thy hands hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 besides. Yeah. And great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, Lord, every morning new mercies I see, and all I have needed thy hands hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Our message today begins right with our gospel text. As we're halfway through this message from last week, we're talking about why the church was growing, and we're talking about the power of the Word of God. And in our text, we're in John chapter 11, starting with verse 38 through 44. We're reading about the resurrection of Lazarus. Jesus has arrived at Lazarus' home. He's been there and talked to the people. And now the text says this, starting with verse 38. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. We're talking about the church expanding and the power of God's word going forth. And as we study Acts, we see about halfway through Acts, we're told this, the church was coming to life as the early disciples were teaching and preaching the word of God. And then in Acts chapter 19, verse 20, we read that the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. Friends, we have no idea the power of God's word. It brought everything into existence, and it is calling people from spiritual death and spiritual darkness into spiritual life and spiritual light. Let's praise him together.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my bed. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my bed. When I feel afraid, think I've lost my way, you're there right beside me. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my bed.
Next, our radio preacher, Pastor Tim Butker, delivers part two of his message, Why the Church Keeps Growing. To hear part one of this message, visit ChristianCrusaders.org or download our free mobile app.
The text says this, Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. The tomb was a cave with a stone laid across it and an entrance. And he simply said, take the stone away. Now, these stones were not movable by one person, and so this was a little bit of a project to remove a stone in front of a cave. And so would have taken some work for some gentlemen. So Martha intercedes again. She's not sure this is a very wise idea 4 days after Lazarus' passing. And so she says to Jesus there, she'd been walking with him to the tomb. She said, "But Lord, by this time there's a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days," the scripture tells us, twice. He's in this tomb for 4 days. She's right, you know. I don't know if you've ever been around a dead carcass that's been there for 4 days, but it smells. It really does. I grew up on a farm, and I have smelled this before. She's right. There certainly had to be a bad odor in this tomb. But Jesus, deeply moved in spirit, says to Martha, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked up and said, "Now you have Jesus the Son praying to God the Father as one God, communing with each other, talking in harmony with each other. Jesus says to God, 'I knew that you always hear me. I'm not praying this for my benefit, but I'm praying this in front of these people so that they may believe that you sent me.'" John's gospel says time and time again, we are called to believe Jesus came, and on believing we'll have life in his name. So they took away the stone, Jesus prayed, and after he was done praying, the scripture says he called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out. I have been meditating on this text for over a month, that Jesus, when he speaks, people are called out into life and life to the full. I have been asking Jesus to call me out more into life, because I've come to believe that of all the voices in the world, there's really only one that matters, and that's the voice of God in our lives. Everybody else was stumbling around wondering what to do, in despair, in darkness, in disbelief, and in death. But when Jesus spoke, everything changed. The atmosphere started to adjust. People's spirits started to lift. Hope started to come back in the room. Life started to come into the souls. Anticipation started to resonate in the hearts of people. People were being called out of darkness, out of disbelief, into the glorious light of the children of God. The dead man came out. Why keep doing church? Why keep gathering on a Sunday morning? Why keep opening the Word of God? If you were to go to our website here at Nazareth, you would see that we believe something about the Bible. If you go to the tab of belief around the Bible, you would see that we believe that the Holy Bible is the divinely inspired, revealed, and inerrant Word of God. It's infallible in its authority over all matters of faith and life. We also believe that God's Word is living and active. It's unfailingly powerful to accomplish God's will both now and forever. And God's Word is unchanging. It was the same 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago. It will never change. It'll be the same 1,000 years from now. And it has the power to create, transform, and make, and bring new life to people. And why is the church growing? Why is the church persevering? Why is the church thriving in different places in the world? Because the Word of God, inspired and empowered by the Spirit of God, continues to bring the people of God to life in the world. That's why we stay doing church. The early church grew, Acts 15 tells us, because the disciples were teaching and preaching, not their own opinion, not their own ideas, but the very Word of God. Acts 19 tells us, as the word of God went forth, it continued to spread widely. And listen to this, it grew in its power. It grew in its power. This is where the power comes from. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit, and it divides the soul of human beings from their spirit so that they can be convicted of what's not of God and what is of God, and their spirit can begin to surge in the new life of Christ. But all of this comes from the Bible. The truth comes from Jesus. But it's not just that it brings life. There's more to this story. The text says the dead man came out, but his hands and feet were still wrapped with strips of linen, and there was still grave clothes around his face. He's alive, but he's not free. Another version says, out came the man who had been dead, his hands and feet tightly wrapped in burial clothes with a burial cloth wrapped around his face. They mummified dead bodies back then, and those mummified bodies, sometimes the legs were wrapped together, sometimes they were wrapped separate, but they tried to wrap the whole body and anoint it with spices and oil so that it wouldn't decay so quickly. It was just sort of a dignified way of burying the bodies. And Lazarus, when he comes out of the tomb, he's alive. But he's not free. And I just have to tell you that I feel alive in Christ. But if I'm honest with you, I don't always feel totally free. I long for a better day. And I would suggest to you that all around this world, there are people who are spiritually dead, people who are spiritually alive, and then people on the journey at different levels of spiritual freedom in life. And what we have here is we have an illustration of what salvation is like. When a person is called by God out of death into life, out of darkness into light, out of condemnation into the glorious freedom of the children of God, they're born again into the family of God through the word of Jesus, through the gospel of our God, and then they begin to grow in sanctification and purification and freedom in their spirits and souls before Almighty God. And this is what God is inviting us into. And if we say we don't need this process and don't need to cooperate with him, the Bible says we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. For the Bible says all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and we confess it this way in our services almost every Sunday. We are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. The dead man has come out and he's alive, but he's still wrapped in the grave clothes. We were sharing as a staff earlier this week, and one of our staff members used these words exactly. They said, I know I'm saved. I know I'm right with God. I know I'm a child of God, but I just don't feel free. I don't feel free. But Jesus, when he was anointed at the beginning of his ministry, said, I have come to proclaim good news to the poor, to bind up broken hearts, and to set captives free. When I was 3 years old, my father and mother went to a crusade where they heard the gospel of our Lord, and they came to salvation in him. And then the Spirit opened their eyes to the enslavement of my dad's history in sin. In his history, there is great rage in the men. There's great anger in the men. There's workaholism in the men. They are described across the board as hard men. They were alcoholics to no end. All kinds of liquor bottles in the barns. They played poker every Friday night in the basement, and the women were only allowed to come down to bring them food. In this darkness of enslavement to these sins came depression and anxiety, the likes of which my mind cannot even comprehend. And into this genealogy of enslavement to human sin and rebellion against God, the Holy Spirit came to my dad and awakened him in Jesus. And he came home when I was 3 years old, he and his mother, and I watched him the next Sunday morning go to the liquor cabinet above the refrigerator, take out all their hard liquor and pour it down the drain, knowing that alcohol had enslaved my family. And they began on the journey out of sin and into the freedom of God. Friends, why does the church need to keep going? Why does the church need to keep proclaiming the word of God? Because as James said, whoever looks into the word of God, which is the law of liberty that sets people free, and they continue to look in it over the course of their life and hear what it says, and don't just hear it, but do it. It says this, they will be set free by it. They'll loose the chains that enslave us in this world to help our spirits soar into peace and joy and hope and all of these things that come to us from outside of this world into our hearts and begin to experience the glorious kingdom of heaven here on earth right now. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. When the church is weak, the powers of this world take over and we experience more and more evil. But when the church grows strong and people live under the reign of the Spirit of God and the truth of God's word, evil dissipates, the light shines, and our world feels different. And the church must be prepared as a glorious bride for Christ to return to. And when the church reigns, not in dominion over people, but reigns over evil and brings light, the whole world rejoices. And so we have to keep sharing the word. Jesus said, not only Lazarus come out, but take off the grave clothes and let him go. Three reasons why I am so thankful that so many people have been faithful here at Nazareth and champion the church forward around the word of God. Because it is the power of the word of God that is our hope, the power of the living Christ, the living word that brings life to people and sets people free from enslavements, all kinds of enslavements in this world. Three reasons why the church has to keep championing forward. There's not a single person in the world today who's not either spiritually dead in their sins and needs brought to life through Christ, or in the process of being brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. And it's the word of God that guides us down this path. Every person in the world is saved and brought into eternal freedom through God's word. And in his kindness, his patience, through his word, through his people, God is still calling individuals out of darkness, out of enslavement to sin, into his presence. And as God calls people on this narrow road, and make no mistake about it, the road to destruction is wide, Jesus said. Many people find it. The road to life is narrow and only few find it. But as people decide to walk on this road, the only way to stay on the road requires us to hold closely to the word of God, the community of faith, we can't do it alone, prayer, confession, repentance, and the power of God's Spirit. It'll only happen as the church is the church together. Friends, I ask you to pray for the Cedar Falls Bible Conference this week. As God's word is taught out there, people come from different nations all over the country to come hear different Bible teachers expound on different parts of this book that brings freedom. I would ask you to pray that God would do his work using his word to set more and more of his people free into the glorious freedom and courage and faith and perseverance and joy and hope that God wants his people to know. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather here this morning. We thank you for loving us the way you do. We thank you for your kindness and your patience and your mercy with our world. When I read through your revelation of history and how We have rebelled against you so many times in so many different ways and taken you less seriously than we should. I can only ask for your continued patience, your continued mercy. I ask that you would stir in our hearts a love for you that transcends a love that we've known in the past, that you would deepen our conviction and our longing for you so that we could be strengthened and encouraged and made more whole and become brighter as your lights in the world. Strengthen your church, Father, through the teaching of your word and through our worship. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Martha told him you're 4 days late. If you had been here, he'd still be alive. And Jesus told her, I am the life. He who believes in me shall never die. Then he shouted and said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus rose from the dead.
There's a dead Lazarus in all of us.
Come on, let it rise. Let it rise. Can't you hear him? He is calling. It's been a while since you felt alive. Wrapped in gray clothes and fine perfume. But it can't hide the death you feel inside. But Jesus calls out your name.
This is Andrew Nordstrom, Technical Director of Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministries. Thanks for tuning in to today's broadcast. Our primary goal is to proclaim Jesus Christ as the Redeemer of the world and to promote the truth of God's Word. In addition to this weekly broadcast, we have three podcasts which you can listen to for free on our website, ChristianCrusaders.org, or on our free mobile app. The first podcast is a Bible overview devotion called the Daily Dose Devotions. The second podcast features inspiring interviews with interesting Christians. It's called the CC Podcast Conversation. Our newest podcast is Homer Larson Live, which features a powerful series of sermons from one of our former radio preachers recorded live over his five-decade ministry to his local church.
Today you've been listening to the broadcast transmission of Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministries. We're one of America's longest-running radio ministries on the air since 1936. We are completely donor-funded and donations are tax-deductible. They can be sent to 7401 University Avenue, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613, or made online at ChristianCrusaders.org. Thank you for tuning into this broadcast. We'll be here again next week at the same time, and until then, may God richly bless you.